and oil, and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. Now, in Philippians chapter 2, I will read to you and give you a literal translation of what we have in the King James, starting at verse 14. Do all things without murmuring and questioning, that ye may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye are seen as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may have whereof the glory in the day of Christ, that I did not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Yea, and if I am offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. Now this word offered is literally, yea, and if I am poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all, and in the same manner do ye also joy and rejoice with me. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. 2 Timothy 4, 5. But be thou sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day. And not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing. I read to you about the drink offering, because in the New Testament, you have some of the offerings that are mentioned in the Old Testament that are brought over into the New Testament with a similar but not an exact meaning. They are similar and yet they're distinct. And the drink offering is the most difficult of the offerings for this reason. We're told nothing about it. I challenge any brother to tell me where God explains to you the significance of the drink offering. You can. We have one occurrence of it being used in the book of Genesis before the law was given, and after the law was given, it will tell you about the burnt, the meal, the feast, the sin, the trespass offering, but it never tells you anything about the drink offering. The only thing it does is to mention the drink offering. And because of that, the drink offering under the ordinary circumstances has no existence by itself. You have the burnt offering, you have the meal offering, the feast, the sin, the trespass offering. They are mentioned by themselves. But whenever God tells us about the drink offering, it is always in conjunction with two other offerings. That's why I read to you from Exodus chapter 29. The Lord was determined that certain sacrifices would be placed upon the brazen altar every morning and every evening. Some of the offerings that were brought and offered upon the altar were voluntary. They were left to the willingness of the Israelites. If they wanted to, they could bring a burnt offering, a meal, a sin, a trespass offering. But only the first three voluntarily. If they sinned, they had to bring a sin or a trespass offering. But some of these offerings may or may not be upon the altar of burnt offering. But God said, I demand that every morning and every evening a burnt offering is placed upon my altar, and never by itself. Always with the burnt offering, there was a meal offering and a drink offering. What God does is this. He tells us about his Son in symbol. John the Baptist said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Here is the Lord Jesus, walking before the eyes of men. John the Baptist said, that is the Lamb of God. He gives us the hint that when you see animals that are sacrificed in the Old Testament, it is not the cruelty of God. It's not the arbitrariness of God. But all of these animals that suffered and were offered as sacrifices were pictures of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would go to the cross and suffer for your sins. And that's why God insists that upon that altar, every morning and every evening, there would ascend the sweet savor of a burnt offering, which is a picture of His Son, who loved His Father completely, who gave Himself wholly to His Father. But He never allowed a burnt offering in the morning and in the evening to be offered by itself. But with it, you have the meal offering, and the meal offering had to be prepared in a distinct way. There was a tenth part of an ephah of fine flour mingled with a fourth part of a hin of oil, and also there accompanied that morning and evening sacrifice a fourth part of a hin of wine. These three went together. Now, what you find is this. Think, and it's amazing. God presents flesh to us, the flesh of an animal. He presents flour to us, fine flour, wheaten flour. And He presents a liquid to us, wine. And the drink offering had to consist of wine, at least, or strong drink. It always is referred to that way. Only those two ways. Now, all three of them depict the Lord Jesus Christ. And each one can of itself reveal the Lord Jesus symbolically in its completeness. I'll show you how. We'll take the animal first of all. When you have the burnt offering, you have its flesh. But the animal is cut open and its insides are washed with pure water. And then its legs are mentioned and its head. And so you have the walk and the spotlessness of the animal. You have the inside of the animal and you have the flesh, the outside of the animal. And so here is the Lord Jesus Christ and His walk upon earth. It was spotless. Here you have His flesh, His body offered upon the cross, because this is what it says in Colossians chapter 1. It speaks of the reconciliation that He accomplished by the body of His flesh. And here is the flesh of the animal, and it's offered upon the altar, and atonement is made. Those who are alienated from God are reconciled to God because of the flesh of the animal that's offered upon the brazen altar. But this animal that is offered, what about its inward being? It was cut open and water was poured all over its inward parts. And then its legs and its head and its parts, they also were placed upon the altar. And so here you have Christ in His life, in His inward feelings, and in His death. All of them presented to us in the one animal. Now, you have the same thing in the meal offering. Here you have the meal, which is the life of Christ, because the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread, out of flour you make bread. And this same flour at times is used to make the 12 loaves of the present bread, to make the meal offering that was offered in the morning, distinct from the meal offering that you accompany the burnt offering with. Here is bread. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of God that came down from heaven. And here you have the oil mingled with that flour. Here is the Son of God on earth, the bread of God from heaven, and the Spirit of God controlling His life, filling Him, guiding Him, driving Him. And so here is the Lord Jesus in His life, the Spirit in His life, and then you have this same meal offered upon the brazen altar. You have the life of Christ, you have the inward being of Christ controlled by the Spirit, and then you have the death of Christ because this flower is offered upon the altar. Now, what I want you to understand is that God, with a little difficulty, can show you the fullness of his Son with one sacrifice. But what he does by bringing three sacrifices together is to show you the body of his Son in death, and then the life of his Son as it was lived on earth and controlled by the Spirit, and then the inward emotions of his Son as they are poured out to God in the drink offering. So what he does is this. Instead of telling everything in one of these objects, he brings three of them together. And then, while one would be complete in itself, he emphasizes in the one the death of Christ, the flesh of the animal offered on the brazen altar. And then he offers the life of Christ, controlled by the Spirit in the flower, and then the inward emotions of Christ, which is depicted by the drink offering. And I must tell you what the drink offering means. It doesn't mean something that is drunk. That's an interpretation. It says, you shall pour out a drink offering. The word pour out is the identical word that is translated drink offering. One is a verb, one is a noun. You shall pour out the pour out offering. That's what it literally says. And so, the reason that you know that the wine and strong drink refer to the emotions of Christ is the hint that God gives us elsewhere. And since I have to tell you a little bit about what it means in the New Testament, I can only give you a little introduction. I've told people all these things in detail elsewhere, and so I have to give you only a brief review. That's all that I can do. It says this in Ephesians 5, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is riot. You see, when wine gets in a person, then they're taken over by another force. And so here is wine, which symbolizes the controlling of the emotions. It says, do not get excitement and do not get exhilaration by drugs or alcohol. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is riot, excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so here is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God is he who controls his emotions. And for that reason, wine and strong drink, which cause emotions to occur in man, wine that maketh glad the heart of man. Here is wine also that says, wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and he that is deceived thereby is not wise. You remember that wine depicts not one thing, but two things in the Scripture. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is his inward emotion. And so God says, I want you every morning to remind me of my Son. The death that he died on the cross, offer a lamb, the flesh. The life that he lived on earth, put flour, fine flour mingled with oil. And the secret inward emotions that only I knew of and appreciated, you pour out the drink offering. And so all of these things, and remember this, any time that any offering ever was offered upon the altar, it invariably depicts Christ. Not you, not anybody else. It always depicts Christ. Now there are other symbols of men, but those symbols are forbidden to be offered upon the altar. But without variation, look at anything that's offered on that altar and you'll say, God is telling me something symbolically about the life and death, the person and work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, that is the primary meaning of all the sacrifices of the Old Testament. And if you take the drink offering by itself, God is delighting to show us the inward secret emotions of the Lord Jesus Christ, and inasmuch as they are poured out in a holy place, accompanying the burnt offering and the meal offering, they are emotions that are wholly acceptable to God. What about the secret emotions of your heart? What hate, what envy, what jealousy do you harbor in your heart? What secret emotions do you have? You couldn't offer those on the altar. The Lord Jesus could, because there was never any emotion in his inward being that was ever disappointing or contrary to the Father's will. The Lord Jesus said, I do always those things, that are pleasing to my Father. And so here are the inward things that only the Father could see. Now, you and I, it says concerning us, the heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God says, I know the heart. And so he lays open the heart, the inward parts of his Son, and he says, these are acceptable in my sight. But now, having said that, I have to briefly introduce what it means in the New Testament. You will find that the very sacrifices that are mentioned in the Old Testament and the things that symbolize Christ are also used to symbolize the duty of Christians in the New Testament. It says this in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But it also says in James chapter 1 that we, God's people, are a kind of first fruit. You see? I told you that the drink offering was the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 and in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I am being poured out as a drink offering. And so, not in a perfect way, as with the Lord Jesus Christ, but in a relative way, we can offer ourselves to God as living sacrifices. We can be to God first fruits, and we can also, as drink offerings, be poured out unto God, if we will. But notice, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present yourself a living sacrifice. Have you done that? Evangelicals usually say, Christ loved me and gave himself for me. He suffered. He was the sacrifice on the cross. That's fine. That's the starting place. Without Christ as our Savior and sacrifice, there is no salvation. But God says, now, I'm asking you, have you offered yourself a sacrifice? Well, that's when I'd rather talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he expects us to offer ourselves as sacrifices, living sacrifices. And the Apostle Paul takes that very drink offering that I'm telling you about from the Old Testament, and he uses it in the New Testament, and he says, I am being poured out as a drink offering. But here, notice, it's not a part symbolizing Paul, but it is wholly symbolizing Paul, his being sacrificed to the service of God, as in the Old Testament, the drink offering was added to the burnt offering and the meal offering. Now, this is carried out in completeness, and the picture is a little changed for this reason. He's talking about the Philippians, and he says, if I am poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. You see? Here, it's not one that is symbolized, but the Philippians are the sacrifice. The Philippians in their service, that is their life. Their life and their sacrifice. And Paul said, if I am poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. So now we see, when anyone takes wine or something of value and pours it out upon the ground or upon the altar or in a holy place, when he does this, then that is the sacrifice. That is the doing away, the losing of all that was in the container. It's poured out. It's sacrificed to God. And that's what Paul said, I am willing to experience to you. But most of us hold back. You have cups, and they symbolize several things. But here is the cup, and the Lord Jesus said concerning its contents, the cup which the Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it? So here is the cross of Calvary, pictured as a bitter drink that Christ must swallow. And he says, the cup the Father has given me to drink, shall I not drink it? But at the same time, here is a cup with its contents, and that cup is your life in its entirety. And some of us will pour out a little bit of it to God, some a little more. But in the Old Testament, not one drop was held back to anyone else but God. When you offered a meal offering, only a handful went to God. The rest of it went to the priest. When you offered the peace offering, only the fat went to God. You'll find that the other parts went to the offerer and the priest. But when it came to the drink offering, every drop that was in the container, it was poured out to God. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. He said, if I am poured out as a drink offering, he held nothing back. Now, tell me about your life. If your life is pictured as liquid in a cup, tell me the truth. How much of it have you allowed God to pour out to his honor and his glory? You see, the Lord Jesus said this, he that saveth his life shall lose it, but he that loseth his life for my sake shall save it, shall find it. But most of us are selfish, and we want to hold on to as much of life as we can. For this reason, when we became Christians, many things became contrary to the mind of God. We had to do away with those things. And for that reason, the few legitimate things that are left to us, you see, we cannot drink and carouse, and we cannot do the abominable things that the world does anymore. They have to be out. But there are certain other things that we can do. But the Apostle Paul said, if meat causes my brother to stumble, I will eat no more meat as long as the world standeth. So the Apostle Paul was quite prepared to sacrifice the whole of his life for the glory of God. And you and I, most of the time, yes, I poured out a little of myself to God, but there's a lot of liquid still left in the cup. But that is why the challenge is to us in the New Testament, to offer our bodies. Well, if you offer your body, what is left? You say, well, if you offer your body, that's everything. Of course it is. And if you pour all the contents of the cup out, what's left? You say, that's everything. And that is exactly what God expects of us. But most of the time, we think that we've done God a favor if we do a little bit for him. If we give a little contribution, if we come to a meeting now and then God must be pleased with us. But the Lord Jesus said this, when you do everything that you're supposed to do, say, we are unprofitable servants. We do a fraction of what we're supposed to do, and we boast as if we were great saints in the sight of God. Well, the Apostle Paul was, and I told you this. I told you how that Paul could be compared with Moses as one who was prepared to sacrifice himself for the people of God. The nation of Israel had sinned against God, and Moses, in his intercession, said, O God, if thou wilt forgive their sin. He said, but if not, blot me out of thy book. He was willing to be obliterated from fellowship with God if the nation of Israel should continue. And the Apostle Paul said the same thing in Romans chapter 9. He said, I could wish myself accursed for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And so Moses said, I'm ready to sacrifice myself for Israel. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm ready to sacrifice myself for Israel. But now, these are not Jews, flesh and blood of Paul, but these are Gentiles. These are the Philippians. And he says, notice, this is what is so beautiful. He said, if I am poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, notice, it's not their sacrifice and service that makes them children of God. Faith makes us children of God. Faith in Christ's precious blood cleansing us from sin, that makes us children of God. But it says the sacrifice and service of your faith. So it's faith, and out of faith flows service and sacrifice. And here, we have two things. We have the Apostle Paul willing to take the humble place, and it should have been that he was the great sacrifice. What have we done in comparison to what Paul did and sacrificed for God? And yet, here are these Philippians and the little that they have done in comparison to what the Apostle Paul has done. It should be reversed. They are the little bit of drink offering added to the burnt and the meal offering. But instead, the Apostle Paul says, now, out of your life, out of your faith in Christ, has flowed sacrifice and service. He said, now, if I die, he said, I am delighted to be looked upon as that which completes this sacrifice upon the altar. And so again, here is the Apostle Paul saying, I would be anathema for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, if they could be saved. But now, for the people of God who are already saved, he says, I'm willing to sacrifice myself to bring glory to God. Now, if I had that disposition, things would be different. And if you had that disposition, we would not behave, we would not murmur, we would not dispute, there would not be constant bickerings going on, but we would think only of the glory of God and the people of God. And we would be willing to be a part, and not even the most important part. We would be willing to add our little bit to bring glory to God, because God said concerning His Son, every morning I want to have by my Son in His fullness brought to my attention. I want the sweet savor to ascend to me, and I want to think of Him in His life, in His inward emotions, and in His death every morning. But now God would also like to see this in His people. He would like to see something sweet and fragrant about us, all of us together, unitedly, contributing what we can to bring glory to His name. But instead, what do? Think of us as an assembly. Because the Philippians were a collective group, and Paul was an individual. But he as an individual was willing to do what he could to help that group collectively. And so we have Christ, and He's perfect, but we have the people of God and their relatives. And Paul was willing to be poured out as a drink offering. How much are we willing to be poured out for God? Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful for the perfections of Thy Son. Let us know that there is not one human being alive who could say, I have not sinned, I have not fallen short of the glory of God, but Thy Son could. And there is not one sinner on earth who could die for another. They have their own sins to die for. But Thy Son could die for sin. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. Our Father, we are thankful for that flesh that was offered upon the altar. We think of Thy Son being put to death in the flesh, that we, the unjust, might be made just in Thy sight. And we are thankful for all the excellences and perfections found in Thy Son. And we are thankful now that there is a little bit about us that is like Thy Son. We remember that Thou dost tell us that we are somewhat like Him. Thou dost know how far we are away from the perfections of Thy Son, but we are a little bit like Him. At one time, we hated and we were filled with hate, but now we love because He first loved us. And we were once darkness, but now we're light in the Lord. And so for all of these things that Christ has done for us, we thank You and acknowledge them. And we pray, Father, that in turn, we may do something worthy of Christ, who did all for You and all for us. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.